Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Review morning briefing for Thursday, the 16th of March. I'm Derek Clark, and I'm joined this morning by Stevie Clifford. Second time in a week, which is absolutely fantastic. How are we doing, Stevie?
Well, not for you guys and the listeners, but yeah, it's definitely nice to be here. This is my regular spot, isn't it?
But absolutely,
I covered for Joshua earlier on in the week, so. Yeah, it's not, Derek. It really isn't up where I am, so it's pretty brutal. Just back from the dog walk and pretty soggy today, so I'm glad to be in and discussing all things Rangers.
Yeah, it's grey and reek down here also. Before we talk Rangers, folks, as always, just a little bit of housekeeping. First of all, if you're watching us on YouTube, Facebook and Twitter, you can see the little ticker below. If you want to take advantage of our Rangers Review website, just head over to rangersreview.co.uk/subscribe. Just £2 for 2 months worth of content. We've actually got an offer, another offer coming out in a chance to win hospitality tickets in the director's box, incidentally, for the match against Dundee United on the 1st of April. And details of that offer you'll find on the website as well, so do go check it out. Quick word for our podcast sponsors as well, Seneca Hair Restoration, the number one guys to go to if you're wanting a hair transplant or just a reinvigoration on the top of your head. These are the top dogs in Europe. So I've bunged, as always, the link to their website and their social media accounts in the description box. Do go give them a try, folks, if that's what you're thinking about. Right, folks, let's talk all things Rangers. A few things to talk about, Stevie. First of all, a bit of off-field news. The American businesswoman Kyle Fox has revealed she's taken her offer to buy a controlling stake in Rangers off the table. She's the head of KRF Capital over there in America. Negotiations had been ongoing for 9 months, she claims. She said it was her ambition to buy into the club, and it was met with resistance from a number of key Rangers shareholders. Douglas Park was included in this, having shown no indication of his willingness to sell his portion of the club. She told BBC Scotland her interest was predicated on certain conditions being met. Those conditions were not met. Our letter of interest included gaining anti-dilution rights protection, 2 board seats, and access to the data room and management interviews. All were denied. It's believed she's withdrawing her offer completely, although she has remained open for future talks. What do you make of this, Stevie, first of all? What's your views on this news?
Yeah, I'm not surprised, Eric. I didn't think it was ever a real bid in the first place. So it wasn't practical. I don't think there was anything to be gained by it, Rangers-wise, and I never took it seriously from word go. So let's give a wee bit of context to this, Derek, and the type of deal that she was offering. I think she was offering to invest £75 million, but that was the headline, but it wasn't clearly. That was, she only invested something like £25 million of it, and £17.5 million was all she could guarantee. There was designs to cut back spending. And what happens with things like this is, and I'm not a businessman, I don't pretend to sit here and know too much, and there'll be other qualified people out there being able to tell you more about it. But they would go in, Derek, and they would asset strip, and they would make sure that we're running on a lower budget and things that are now. So you can say a lot about the board, but financially we're in a good place. Covered it recently, financially, where we are, debt-wise and things like that. So the board can't be accused of not looking after the finances that way. But somebody like this coming in who wants an investment return for what they're putting in, the board aren't doing that. The board aren't looking for dividends and things like that. They would be. So how are you going to make money, Derek? You're going to be selling things. You're going to be running at the lowest output and stuff like that. And look, that's the way they do it. I understand that, and that's absolutely fine. But it's not going to work in Scotland. It's not going to work at Rangers the way that we run the club and the demands that we have. So just never a starter for me. Something that clearly the club haven't taken very seriously. She says that negotiations are ongoing for 9 months. You know, I don't see that being true either. It might have been that, you know, she's put her offer on the table 9 months, and Rangers have told her 9 months ago that it's not going anywhere, and now she's formally withdrawing. Well, you know, I don't, you know, I formally withdraw from the bid to date Laura Woods, Derek, you know, but I don't think it was ever going to happen in the first place. You know what I mean? So that's the kind of realistic position we're in. You know what I mean? I must add, Laura is very lovely, but we're just pals.
Yeah, it's a good point, Stevie. But listen, I think in the wider thing, I mean, investment is something that Rangers can't shut the door on. They have to listen to potential investors. That's the way that football operates, of course. And I think there's a wider discussion to be had about whether the current board to take Rangers on to that next level. If I mean, the player trading model we talk about, that needs to get kicked into gear. But investment opportunities, we need to make Rangers as attractive a proposition for outside investors, don't we, to compete with not only in Scotland, but to try and compete in Europe as well.
What I would say, Derek, is I don't think there's any suggestion that this board wouldn't be open to outside investments. It's got to be right for the club and got to be people that have got the right ideas. You know, you look at even taking in guys like Julian Woolhart, and they've had, you know, Stuart Gibson putting in money from, you know, he's got a lot of businesses in Asia and stuff like that, etc. So it's not like it's a wee closed group. And I think what you've got to say as well about this board, and I've criticised this board, and most people know where I am with it. I won't criticise that the money that they've put in and the level of kind of spending we're at. It's not the level of spending we're at that I've got an issue with. It's how we're spending it, Derek, and what we're doing on wages and things like that. So I think that's a bigger kind of discussion and one for another day. But I don't think the club or the board are wrong here not to entertain this. I think it would be completely the wrong thing to do. And again, it's only my opinion. I would, you know, obviously, not on the outskirts of things, we don't know the ins and the outs, but from what I've heard and what I've seen of it, it's not attractive for the club. And, you know, in fairness to the board, I repeat this again, I don't think it's a closed shop. I don't think that's not what I've heard. That's not what these guys are about. So I just think it's entirely the wrong type of deal for Rangers to go down. And the things that she was hoping to make money from and stuff, Rangers aren't in that position to do. So not surprised by today's news, Derek. I didn't ever think it was going anywhere from the very start.
No, I agree with you, Stevie. And just touching on your point earlier, Kev Armstrong says, Laura would be lucky to have you, Stevie. So there you go, absolutely.
Kev's a good lad. I've known Kev for a while, so he's biased. Yeah. So
Jim's son gets in touch on the bloody treadmill. Please distract me from my hell. We'll do our very best, Jim. I don't envy you on there. Right, let's talk on pitch matters, Stevie. Yeah, you've got a piece on the website this morning. Great points that you make in it, touching on a number of key things. The performance levels, of course, at the weekend against Raith Rovers. Todd Cantwell and Nico Raskin helping to re-energise the midfield. And an interesting point on Alfredo Morelos, just touching on Michael Beale's comments at the weekend. And they're pretty damning, I think. He certainly laid down the gauntlet to Alfredo if he wants to... Well, it remains to be seen. He reportedly has said that he's not signed a pre-contract agreement with anyone, but it's up to him, I think, how he decides to play out the last remaining months of his current Rangers deal. I've seen that Arthur Newman has actually came out this morning in his Five Stars column, and this is what he has said, folks. He says, just on Michael Beale's comments, it was a very honest assessment from Michael. I would suggest there is frustration from the manager towards Alfredo, and I totally understand why. I've been to a few games this season, and I was annoyed with his attitude on the park, particularly in the Viaplay Cup final defeat to Celtic. I wanted him to give more. And he touched on the dressing room that he was a part of. He says, if he was in our dressing room 20 or 25 years ago under Dick Advocaat or Alex McLeish, we wouldn't have needed a manager to step in. The dressing room would have taken control. We wouldn't have allowed any slackness and demanding much more from him. There's no doubt Alfredo is a very good striker, but you need to have the full package and be willing to use it every day of the week. It's not good enough to pick and choose when you're ready to give your all and fight for the club. He also added a £1 million transfer fee. Alfredo has been outstanding value and has given Rangers very good service, but he is out of contract in the summer and the time is right for a parting of the ways, in my opinion. Alfredo would go with my best wishes. It's up to Michael in the recruitment department to find a better option than Alfredo. Your thoughts on that, Stevie?
Well, it's pretty scathing.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, Arthur Newman was world-class, you know, one of the best left-backs I've seen for Rangers. So if anyone's able to sit and have an opinion on it, then I think Arthur's quite entitled to give that. It's a difficult one, you know. It seems like Alfredo's getting it from all angles, but there's a common denominator in everything, Derek. It's because we know how good he can be. You know, that run of form that he had, peak 1920, almost round about just over 3 years ago. Then he had the run of form to help us get 55. And let's not downplay that, because he really did. At the turn of the year, he had a really good game against Celtic. He had the big moment where Beaton got sent off, if I remember correctly, when he was going down. He got pulled down. Then Aribo scores a deflected winner. Yeah. Then he gets two up at Pittodrie. He scores a winner at Easter Road. He then scores a winner at Livingston. He scored a winner, I think, St Mirren also as well on that run. So I don't want to downplay what Alfredo's given us at vital moments. But the fact of the matter is, this season, Alfredo hasn't been fit enough. He hasn't showed the desire enough. And he hasn't shown the application. His stats and his numbers are still good, right? And that's probably even more frustrating, because we look at half-paced Alfredo, which is where I think he is at the moment, and he's still doing enough that you could consider it to be okay. If he can click and properly get there, we all know how good he can be. So, of course, he's going to be the focal of attention for people. He's going to be the things that people write about. But I don't think Arthur's unfair in anything he says there. There's been a lot said about the League Cup final, Derek, and if we revisit it and people properly watch it again and look at it, Alfredo Morelos was completely anonymous until he scored his goal. He scored his goal, and yes, that I will admit, at that point, it probably was the worst thing to take him off, because he probably was high on kind of, you know, emotions and things like that and buzzing from his goal. So possibly that was a mistake. But if you look at the 60 minutes before it, I understand completely why he's coming off. So Alfredo's at a real crossroads. What I will say, Derek, as well, is, and this is worth pointing out, he's working hard. He's doing extra gym sessions.
Yeah.
He's been seen up in the gym more than once. He's posting on his Instagram and stuff like that. Maybe, just maybe, the penny might drop for him that he needs to get himself sorted out. Is it too little, too late? I'm not sure. We discussed this morning in my column. That's what it's based about. And something else that I wanted to touch on in a wee minute as well, Derek. But he's definitely in the last chance saloon for me. I think this is where we are. If he puts together a good run and kind of gets himself a wee bit fitter in the next 2-3 months, then maybe he's got an outside chance. But he's once again, for Alfredo, he's left it very late to try and turn this around and try and show the way. But this is what I said in my column. Sometimes big decisions have to be made in the dressing room, Derek, like Amoruso, captaincy gone, like Terry Butcher, like Graham Roberts. These big decisions have to be made. Like, by the way, like Walter taking Barry Ferguson and Alan McGregor out of it. Barry Ferguson ended up leaving for the betterment of the club and the dressing room, according to Walter. Let the squad breathe. Let other characters come through. Let the dynamic of the team change. Might just be that Alfredo Morelos and Ryan Kent and Scott Arfield, Alan McGregor, whoever else you want to put in that, they need to move on in order for Rangers to move on as well and get better. And I touched on that a wee bit in the article, just saying that, you know, in order for this squad to breathe and to grow, other personalities to come out and get better and things like that, then maybe it's time for him to move on. But if he goes with my best wishes. It's been an up and down roller coaster, Derek. Like everything Rangers, it's never smoothly straightforward. But I think he's definitely Last Sands Saloon now. Yeah. You know, it's a shame. It's a real shame as well. Top European goal scorer, the first person probably grown back into to where we are in the, you know, the journey back that you could actually look at and say he's going to be good and he gives you hope for the future and things like that. So, and Thomas, look, see what he says there, Derek. That's what I was talking about. Goal involvement, almost won a game. His stats aren't bad. And this is a frustrating thing. This is half-paced Alfie. And he's still okay. That's why everyone gets so frustrated. That's why everyone keeps writing about it. And that's why Chris Boyd has his say, Arthur Newman has his say. That's why everybody's talking about it, because he is, everybody knows how good he can be and wants more. So don't think anything Arthur says is unfair at all.
Yeah. I'll just bring Stevie's article in the description box, folks, so you can go and check it out at your leisure. Points coming in, just touching on that and being posting it in the gym. Graham Blaney says, I don't buy this posting on Instagram, Stevie. That's just trying to get people off his back. And this point coming, posting gym videos is almost an admission that he's not in shape. I'm not entirely sure that's the case, but yeah, he has been doing extra sessions. But will we see that on the pitch in terms of his performance levels remains to be seen. Of course, big game at the weekend, Stevie. Fir Park, I mean, Rangers have had some decent results there in recent times. I can't remember the last time that we've came a cropper when we went to Fir Park, to be honest. Was the last game that the Tillman solo goal, if I'm not mistaken, an absolute bore fest of a game until that moment of magic from Malik. How do you see this one going at the weekend?
Well, we've had a few decent results there, haven't we? If you remember back to the end of last season, where Balogun, I think, got sent off and went down to 10 men, and Scotty Wright scored a couple that day. So we go back there, and obviously it was Malik that stole the plaudits earlier on the season. I think John Lundstrom scored from a corner as well. So, you know, we just need to go there and win. They're not a good side, Derek. Look, it's always dangerous saying stuff like this, but they're not a good side.
They've had the month. Yeah,
they've had a bit of an uplift. He's done all right. I think 7 and 9 he's got. They've played teams around them down there. So we need to get in and get our job done and get up the road. Incidentally, I wouldn't be starting Alfredo either. Cholak would keep the jersey for me. There's a little bit of a decision to be made whether or not this is a kind of game that suits Fashion Sakala. When you look at last week, Fashion needs space and he needs kind of bits to run into and things like that. Motherwell will play a low block and they'll play really defensive. So interesting to see whether or not he starts. That's maybe a question we have for the right-hand side. It wasn't exactly great last week, but he has been playing well. So there's a couple of things, really. I think the rest of the team more or less picks itself from that. Ryan Jack, Cantwell, Raskin, you know. So get in, get the job done. Get up the road, Derek, and then a couple of weeks rest before we come back and things get really serious, because this next run, you know, is Celtic 3 times and things like that within the space of 6 weeks. So that'll be we'll really see where we are in terms of how well we're doing. But it's a press conference today. What I would say finally on the Alfredo thing is, press conference today, Michael Beale's going to be asked. He said on Sunday after the game that he hadn't spoken to Alfredo about potential links away from the club and whether or not he'd signed a pre-contract, but he wasn't too sure if it was correct. Says he'll speak to him in the next couple of days. Well, we're now Thursday, so let's go and see what he says about that today. So that's obviously going to be the big question.
Yeah, that press conference taking place this afternoon, folks, early afternoon. So we'll have all the fallout from that, all the reaction to Michael Beale and whatever player is put up for that press conference. You can find that on our YouTube channel and also on the Rangers Review website. Interesting point, William White, just touching on the forward position. He says, play Tav up front, bring Devine in. Well, he has said he's always wanted to play up front, Stevie. I've got to be honest, I would love to see it happen at one stage, just to see if what that would look like. I'd imagine it's he's played up front in training or what have you. Can't imagine it being at this stage of the season, but just at the tail end of the campaign perhaps, or a bounce game perhaps, I'd love to see Tav play up front just to see what it's like.
No, I know. Keep Tav at right back where he is. Concentrate on his game. Never mind trying to shift him elsewhere. But Malik Tillman should be in and about it. You know, the right hand side is kind of up for grabs. I think a wee bit. The way he's slightly changed that formation around. He's played one and two and two and one. So it's kind of been a bit different as well. And Fashion's done well. It wasn't. You know, that's something, Derek, I wanted to say to you as well, that on the piece this morning I discuss, and it'd be interesting to get a wider kind of feel of what people say, but last week's game was very typical of, I think, what's wrong with this team, or not what's wrong with, but something that Michael Beale has to fix. And it's a game like that where Raith Rovers go into it and they have a certain game plan, and it involves slowing the game down, using fouls and getting everybody behind the ball. And what we tend to do, and what I think is a real big problem for this side, and it's why we've struggled against Raith, Thistle, Dundee this season, and why we're not blowing teams away at home and things like that the way we should, or we feel we should as a support, is because I feel that this team have a real issue with tempo setting and how we distribute the game, in terms of if a team come and sit back and slow the tempo, we allow ourselves to get dragged down. And we almost gets into a training feel and passiveness in the team, instead of setting the tempo and going for it and sticking to our game and being allowed to move the ball quicker. We always seem to slow it down and seem to get stuck a wee bit. So I talk about that in the article this morning as well, Derek. And in my opinion, that's something Michael Beale has to fix. And he has to get this team in the mindset and set up properly that it doesn't matter what the opposition do, or how they try and set up, we're going to stick to our tempo, we're going to stick to our pace. The way we play the game, the way we move the ball, no matter what you do, is going to be set, and we're not going to allow ourselves to be kind of dragged into other teams' game plans. And I think that, it'd be interesting to see what people think, but I think that is something that we need to fix, and it's something that I talked upon this morning. And I think when you look back at Raith Rovers and other games this season, I think that's been quite prominent in where we are.
Yeah, it's been a problem, I think, for many a game now, not just under Michael Beale, but Giovanni Van Bronckhorst had the same issue. Steven Gerrard at points as well, teams that camp up and make it difficult for Rangers to break them down. I think that's something that I'm sure Michael Beale will look to rectify, particularly, I think, in the summer with regards to potential recruitment and players coming in. He did touch on that three at the back at the weekend, Stevie. Is that a potential solution? What games can you see that maybe being adopted in? Of course, it would be, assuming you're thinking of John Souter and Ben Davis either side of Connor Goldson in the middle. Who drops out? Is it a defensive midfielder for you if they're playing three at the back?
It's interesting. I listened to Adam discuss this yesterday with you, and he makes some interesting points. Balance-wise, that three at the back, Ben Davis left, John Souter right, Connor Goldson in the middle. Ben Davis and John Souter are able to, they've got a really good range of passing, and that's something that they do well. They're both relatively comfortable on either side. Connor can lead from the middle. That might work. Then you've got your two fullbacks. Somebody said, where would Kent fit into that? Kent would look up front. For me, he would play up front, and just the way it's been recently, you would maybe play a 3-4-3 kind of thing. So one of your midfielders does drop out, Derek, but then you're looking for, like Adam said yesterday, the potential that one of your centre-backs does the defensive midfielder job in terms of pushing up and maybe doing that role. You've seen Connor Goldson isn't scared to go forward. He joked about it last week, Michael Beale, that, you know, the big fella was running down the right. That's what Connor Goldson does. He pushes on anyway, naturally. So you might find that there's a, if he's trying to solve that dynamic, he might do something like that. So, be interesting. He's clearly looking for ways that he can counter Celtic, and he's trying to think of the bigger picture. How can we evolve in games against them, which is what we need to try and get a formula that works. They're very set in their ways, and they do it very well. In fairness, there's no point in saying otherwise. We need to counter that, and we need to figure out how to do it. So, as you said yesterday, Walter, you know, was three at the back at times.
Yeah.
Alex McLeish went three, and then he was 4-2-4. So Alex McLeish was quite diverse in how he attacked his games. But it's interesting. I don't, when I heard about it, if it works, then I think it could be okay. But you don't necessarily need three at the back when you're at home to Kilmarnock.
I know. Yeah.
So would you change that dynamic up in these games? He might do. We might prominently go with three. We suited three at the back at half time when we were 2-1 to Dortmund. Gio switched it and went three. And Gio used to actually switch it quite a bit to three during games. Lundstrom would drop in. So I don't think that it's unnatural for a Rangers style to kind of go like that. And there's a lot you can do with it. Ryan Kent would probably get more of a three role in the 3-5-2, 5-3-2 kind of setup. So
yeah,
might be interesting. And I'm talking like Ryan Kent staying, and we're on that assumption. So he might not stay, but then you've got Tillman or Cantwell or whoever else would play in there. So there's certainly plenty of options. Would Yanis Hadji, for example, sort like a 3-5-2 more if he's more centrally in things? So it's interesting, Derek. I think it might work depending on who's got. But the other issue with that is if you're setting up for three at the back and one of your predominant players is John Souter, would you trust that? Would we have to get somebody else in just to ensure that he maybe doesn't get injured? So yeah, there's a few question marks about it. But I like the fact that he's thinking outside the box.
Yes.
We've come a long way from being Steven Gerrard was completely rigid, right? And everybody's, I know we give credit to Michael Beale quite a lot, and we say, you know, that he was a mastermind behind it all and everything else. Well, there could have been a case to worry about if he comes in, he just does the exact same all over again, and he isn't bending or he isn't flexible. At least this way he's trying to think, and he's moving things about, and the sharp eyes would have noticed that the 4-3-3 rigid kind of formation has changed recently. And it's no longer that, you know, based the way they done it before. So I'm never against change, Derek, especially if something isn't working. You know, if we go to Parkhead on the 8th of April and do it all over again and the obvious thing happens, I'll be sitting going saying, why didn't he change it? So the fact that he's at least thinking about it, and I think we might see that in these games coming up, you know, it's good to see. And he spoke really well about John Souter, didn't he? He said that he was one that he wanted in when he was here before. Uses the ball really well, really strong, good defender. Now, we all seen that in the League Cup final. And if you get a John Souter play like that, Scottish Cup final, If we see that, for us, I can see why you would want him in the team as well. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Listen, if Rangers can keep him fit, that's a big question. Then there's no doubt he's a top player in his quality. But it's been a problem not only for him, but a number of players at Ibrox being on the field. One player who has had his injury problems to seek, who could play at the weekend, Stevie, who could start, incidentally, is Ridvan Yilmaz. As Alan says, Yilmaz to start on Saturday. Could you see that happening? Of course, Bonner, his wife is expecting, and it looks like he's heading back to Croatia for the birth of his imminent son. It's good to have Ridvan coming back at this point in time. I'm excited to see more of him. Stevie was coming on to a game before he suffered that horrendous hamstring injury, and it just had to be Rangers' luck. It was the worst possible hamstring injury he could have suffered. But I have no qualms about him starting at Fir Park on Saturday.
Well, we shouldn't, given the amount of money we've spent on him. If we're worried about somebody for $3.5 million coming in, then there's really big questions to be asked. We need to have a good look at him and see what he's like. But he's a completely polar different fullback to Borna Barisic. He likes to drive in. He likes to cut inside. He likes to hit the byline, cut the ball back and fizz it across and stuff. Whereas Borna likes to whip his crosses in and put them on people's head, basically. I think Borna, if you look at last week, that's certainly how he crossed it in. But Adam said something interesting yesterday, which I completely agree with. That game doesn't suit us all the time, you know, out to the left, whipping it in. Look at the St Johnston, Livingston games at home. Look at Raith Rovers last week. Scottish teams can defend whipped balls in. It's all big guys in the middle heading it away. Livingston, when you look at, are a prime example. I think that day we had something like 20 corners. And you look at the St Johnston game, we had 10 in the first 10 minutes or something ridiculous.
Yeah, it was.
Up at St Johnston. So these are prime examples of why we need to figure new ways around it. Yilmaz is completely different in that sense, where he almost plays as an inverted fullback, where instead of going that way, he comes in. So it'll be interesting to see what he does and how he goes about it. Big concerns for me is obviously his height, his physicality, but technically going forward and even possibly defensively, I don't have much concerns about that one-on-one on the deck and stuff. What I fear is Scottish teams will just go, we left back, forward, pull off and sit on him, and we'll just lob it that way. So when you think about a 3-5-2 or three at the back, that would stop that as well, because they would play higher up as wing-backs, Derek.
Yeah.
So that might be behind Michael Beale's thinking as well. He might have looked at it and says, how can we get the best out of Yilmaz as well and Tav? So, you know, he's certainly a player, Derek, that he had a lot of interest in. He had a lot of people going after him. He was the next big thing coming out of Besiktas and stuff like out of Turkey. So excited to see him, excited to see what he's got to offer. He will get his chance this weekend. Borna, you know, congratulations to him and his wife. Hope everything goes well. And he's obviously entitled to that leave to go back to Croatia and welcome home his wee boy. So best wishes to them. And if Yilmaz comes in, it's not a issue for me. It's more of an excitement to see what we are going to do to accommodate and get the best out of him.
Yeah, and I like this point from Ross. He says, we don't cut the ball back enough around the box. Ridvan will help us get to the byline. He'll give us a different dynamic. Yeah, I totally agree, Ross. I'm looking forward to seeing him in a Rangers jersey again, and hopefully we see him at Fir Park on Saturday. Okay, folks, that'll do us here. Big thanks to Stevie, as ever. Just a reminder, that press conference taking place later this afternoon, so all the reaction will be on our YouTube channel and the Rangers Review website. You can subscribe now for just £2 for 2 months' worth of content. Just head over to rangersreview.co.uk/subscribe for all the details. Before you go, Stevie, score prediction for Saturday. How's it ending up?
3 for Rangers, 1-0 for Motherwell, depending on if we do our usual 2-0 up, let's concede a goal so that we all, you know, get an edge of our boots for the last 20 minutes and then score a late third. But Antonio Čolak to do the business on Saturday.
Yeah, that's what he gets in amongst the goals. Okay, folks, we'll be back again tomorrow. Myself and Chris Jack will be on the video, but until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Bye.